keep, leave, or make alive, certainly give promise to life, let suffer to live, nourish up, preserve alive, quicken, recover, repair, restore to life. So basically means that, you know, you were dead at one time and you came back to life. So here we see a couple of examples of a resurrection, a foretaste, you know, of what we were going to see. Let's go now in Hebrews 11:35. This is a cross-reference to these stories here that we just read about the women here. You know, first of all, they were blessed with children. Then they lost their children. Then they got them back for a time, you know, because we know we all have to die a physical death. Hebrews 11:35, it says here, women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. So it even backs up the stories that we just read, that, you know, the people were actually resurrected. So, you know, we can have hope in these things, that we're doing what is right, we're doing what Yahweh says, we're striving, we're helping one another, loving one another, we're being obedient. We can take we can partake in Yahweh's promise, and the resurrection is one of the many promises that we have in the scriptures. And as the saying goes, we can bank on that. We know that. That's a sure statement. Let's go back to Psalm 16. Psalms 16. And we can read of David. We can read of King David. He was actually prophesying about Yahshua's resurrection here. In Psalm 16, it's a short psalm. I'll go ahead and read it. Starts out, "Preserve me, O El, for I take refuge in thee. I said to Yahweh, thou art my master. I have no good besides thee. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who have bartered for another El will be multiplied. I shall not pour out their libations of blood, nor shall I take their names upon my lips." That's what we call on Yahweh when we worship Yahweh. He doesn't want us to worship under any other names. "Yahweh is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lap. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless Yahweh who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set Yahweh continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." Or you could probably read that, "I have set the master continually before me because he is at my right hand. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever." And the key right there is in verse 10, where it says that Yahweh will not abandon Yahshua, you know, to let him just sit there in the grave. He had to come back up. He had to be resurrected. You know, that way we know that he's the Messiah, because he said that this would happen. And if that doesn't happen, then, you know, we can be cleansed, you know, by his blood. Because everything has to fit. Everything, there's a pattern to everything. You know, the way Yahshua said it, the way Yahweh said it would be. We know that this is talking about Yahshua, because in Acts chapter 2, we see the apostle Kepha, or Peter, he backs this up. And the key in the prophecy is that Yahshua will not stay dead in the grave. And actually, when he rose up, he defeated the plan of the evil one, because the evil one wants to keep us in the grave. He doesn't want us to rise up. "Peter and other sent ones, such as Shaul or Paul, preached this doctrine, which is a part of many prophecies Yahweh made to his obedient service." Let's go to Isaiah, since we're here in Psalms. We go to Isaiah chapter 26. There's a verse here that adds to the topic. And many of us, you know, we might not have the questions about the resurrections, but you know, maybe those outside the body, they're still lacking in faith, you know, they want concrete proof. And the only proof that we have is the scriptures, you know, for now. That's what we have. Okay, Isaiah 26, 19, it reads, your dead will live, their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is at the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. So we know that at some point, you know, if we were to die now, Yeshua comes later. When we hear that trumpet sound, we're all going to be wake. You know, we're going to wake up. Let's also go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. I never really looked into this topic, you know, as much as I did for this study here, but there's still so many things that, I mean, we won't look into. Ezekiel 37, and this is a vision that was shown to Ezekiel by Yahweh. It says here in verse 11, it starts out, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. See that a lot of times, you know, that lack of faith, you know, it kind of rubs off. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Sovereign Yahweh, behold, I will open your graves, will cause you to come up out of your graves. My people and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of the graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken and done it, declares Yahweh. So here we have another confirmation. Yahweh's talking to Ezekiel through this vision, and he's showing them a picture of what's going to happen in the end times, you know, when the people of Israel and those that are grafted in, you know, will rise up and help Yahshua to reign. Let's go now to Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2. So here we have three witnesses. We have three of Yahweh's prophets prophesying to us. And this is why when Yahshua came, a lot of people, you know, their hopes were awakened because they read the scriptures. They studied the prophecies. They knew that something great, you know, was going to happen, you know. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says here, now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. So that's telling us there's a difference. There's two resurrections, and we're trying to get into the first one. That's our hope. That's our goal. You know, that's our aim. Yahshua said that Yahweh is the Elohim of the living and not the dead. Let's go to Matthew, and we'll read about this story because we see that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had a different understanding about the resurrection. We know the Sadducees or the Sadducim, they didn't buy this story about the resurrection, you know. But even though Yeshua used to rebuke the Pharisees for the most part, you know, at least they believed in the resurrection. You know, we can give them that. Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 to 32. You know, right here he answers those of the Sadducees who say there's no resurrection. Starting in verse 23. On that day, the Sadducees who say there's no resurrection came to him and questioned him, saying, teacher, Moshe said if a man dies having no children, his brother as next of kin shall marry his wife and raise up an offspring to his brother. Now there were seven brothers with us, and the first married and died, and having no offspring left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third down to the seventh. And last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven shall she be? For they all had her. Now, just reading the story right there, that sounds outrageous, you know, and so it already sounds like a trick. But anyway, in verse 29, but Yeshua answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not comprehending the scriptures or the power of Yahweh. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like messengers in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which is spoken to you by Yahweh, saying, I am the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob. He is not the Elohim of the dead, but of the living. So right here, Yeshua sets them straight. And it's not surprising that some people might doubt the resurrection. They doubt the scriptures altogether. Some people even doubt, you know, the creator, you know, but then they turn around and have more faith in evolution. You know, that takes, you know, way more faith than what it takes to believe in Yahweh and Yahshua, I tell you. You know, also in verse 30 there, we read there that it says that the people that are resurrected will be like messengers. They neither marry or are given in marriage. And so, you know, that clarifies the situation in Genesis chapter 6, where some think that the angels came and, you know, they had children with women. You know, this right here contradicts that. But anyway, just wanted to throw that in there. Yeshua tells us plainly that his teaching is not his. So where does Yeshua get his teaching from? His answer is he does and says what Yahweh tells him. Let's go to the book of John and we'll read about this. In John chapter 7, we'll read verse 16 and then we'll jump over to chapter 17. John chapter 7 and verse 16. In John chapter 7:16, it just plainly says, Yeshua therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. So we know that Yeshua wasn't lying to the people. He wasn't preaching false doctrine, you know, just to get a name for himself or get paid as some ministers do. John 17, verses 3 through 8. And this is, once again, Yeshua speaking again. And this is like a prayer that Yeshua was offering up to the Father for his people. In verse 3 in John 17, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true Elohim, and Yeshua Messiah, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. I manifested thy name. He told us his name. That's why we know that his name is the correct name we should call on. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. For the words which thou gavest me, I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me. So these verses right here talk about the preexistence. They also squash the Trinity. We see the two different beings there. You know, you can't overlook that. You have to take it in context, what he's saying, what he's talking about. And we see that the faith is preserved down to our age by the apostles. And this was a command that he gave to them. We can only read of two resurrections, as far as I know. If there's another, then, you know, we'll find that out some other time. But straight from the scriptures, we only read about two. And we read them straight from the prophets also. And those of us who are striving, we're trying to do the will of Yahweh through Yahshua. We want to make it into the first resurrection. Because we read that those who make it into the first resurrection, the second death has no power over these. We can also read of the task they will be given to do. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelations chapter 20. Revelations chapter 20 and verses 4 through 6. It starts out, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Yahshua and because of the word of Yahweh, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Messiah for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So here we have continued confirmation. We have it in the Old, we have it in the words of Yahshua, and we have it in visions that Yahshua gave to the man here, John, who wrote the book. One way that we can be assured that we will be resurrected is, of course, the fact that Yahweh made it clear that those obedient to his commands will attain this. But of course, we want the first, not the second. One key scripture among many is found in Hebrews 11:1. It reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen." Have we ever seen anybody be resurrected yet? I haven't seen anybody be resurrected yet. But yet I have hope, because the scriptures, and because of Yahshua, and because, like the scripture says, this is a fruit and a gift. And when we're given a portion of that spirit, you know, when we keep on doing Yahweh's will, he gives us more talents, you know. He gives us more faith. He gives us trials so that we can depend on him, so that we know for a fact that he's going to deliver us from whatever comes upon us, you know, even if we get persecuted. You know, persecutions are nothing new to those of us in the faith, you know. They persecuted the prophets, it says, and, you know, also us. Let's go again to Hebrews 11. Let's go ahead. We'll read verse 6 and then 13 through 16. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it reads, "That without faith it is impossible to please Yahweh. For he who comes to Yahweh must believe that he is." So you have to believe in a creator. "And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." So we seek him and he rewards us. Also, verses 13 through 16 talks about what I was saying about earlier. It says here that all these listed in this chapter, all these died in faith. They died a physical death, even Enoch, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he has prepared a city for them. And we can read about New Jerusalem coming down from heaven in Revelation. Let's go now to the book of Acts, and we'll see here Peter, you know, at times he was a coward. When it came time, you know, he denied Messiah, but he turned all that around, you know, after he got the Spirit. He gave a powerful sermon over in Acts chapter 2. And I have here verses 22 to 36. And I appreciate that new booklet that was put out about the Old Testament, because we see here Peter plainly referring to the Old Testament, which is a foundation. Every house has to have a foundation. Okay, in Acts chapter 2, we'll start at 22. And Peter starts out, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Yahshua the Nazarene, a man attested to you by Yahweh with miracles and wonders and signs, which Yahweh performed through him in your midst, just as you yourself know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of Yahweh, you nailed to a tree, you executed him by the hands of the wicked men and put him to death. And Yahweh raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was beholding the Master in my presence, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to the grave, nor will thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarchs that David, he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Now, if David would have been in heaven, he would have plainly stated it right there, but we know that he's in the grave right now. He's waiting for Yeshua. Verse 30, and so, because he was a prophet, and he knew that Yahweh had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Messiah, that he was neither abandoned to the grave, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Yahshua, Yahweh raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of Yahweh, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. Talking about the wonderful gift that the Spirit was doing. They were speaking in other men's languages, and they understood the message, and they were convicted in their heart. Verse 34, for it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, Yahweh said to my master, sit at my right hand. So once again, we see two different beings, because one is at the right hand of the other. Until I make thine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that Yahweh has made him both master and Messiah, this Yahshua whom you impaled. So this message was so powerful, wow, that 3,000 people took heed to this message. And it was all done by Yahweh's Spirit, by nothing else. It wasn't really Peter's words. It was just Yahweh speaking through him. Kepha Peter is preaching under inspiration of the Spirit of Yahweh, which he received through obedience to the law, the same law that some dismiss. But he was also obedient to the command of the Messiah to wait at Jerusalem. That was another command. He was told to wait. In John 21:14, it says that Yahshua appeared three times to the apostles after being raised up. But I guess we could say Yahshua was disappointed, though, because of the lack of faith of his chosen to continue his ministry, when at first they didn't believe that Messiah was raised up. Let's go to Matthew 28. We see the same thing going on, you know. Some people, they don't believe it. I don't think they would believe it if they seen it. That's just the way some are. But you have some that are humble, you know, they're seeking. You know, they might not believe you at first, but they take heed to your words, you know. And then they go and they do like the Bereans, they check it out for themselves. Matthew 28:17, look at it, says there, and when they saw him, they reverenced him, but some were doubting. You know, he was right there in their face. You know, he came up, and they were still having doubts. You know, is it him? I don't know. Let's go over to Mark chapter 16. We'll read a couple of scriptures from here also. And in Mark chapter 16, from verses 9 to 20, you know, it says a note there that those scriptures may not have been in the originals, but the story that we read here, you see it backed up in Luke. You see the same story. I read from Mark 16, verse 9, down to 14. It says here, now after he had risen, early on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. And when they heard that he was alive and had seen and was seen by her, they refused to believe it. And after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. And they went away and reported it to the others, But they did not believe them either. The two witnesses, they didn't believe them. And afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. So we see the human nature of the apostles here, the same human nature that we have. Sometimes we read something, sometimes a brother tells us something, you know, they might have a revelation or something, and we don't believe it right away, you know, but sometimes, you know, they do come to pass, and we have to take heed to these things. It shouldn't surprise us. We have never seen Messiah, yet we believe in Yahweh and Yahshua and the promises in the scriptures. We also make the same mistake that the Israelites made at times because of our human nature. Even the pagans and the evolutionists have faith in their religion. So, I mean, why not us? You know, and when they don't believe us, then sometimes maybe it's because of the way that we're walking. We need to fix, you know, whatever's wrong. Only difference between, you know, the pagan religions is that nothing outside of Yahweh and Yahshua's promises come close. They don't even touch the surface. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we can read verses 1 through 5. It talks here, you know, how we must observe the commandments in the scriptures, and that our faith in Yahweh and Yahshua overcomes the world. And that's a true statement. Whoever believes that Yahshua is the Messiah is born of Yahweh, or better yet, begotten of Yahweh. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. There we go again. The Father and the Son. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and observe his commandments. So that means they're still in effect. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is begotten of Yah overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Yahshua is the Son of Yahweh. So we have the Father, we have the Son, and when we're obedient, we get the gifts. We can also read in Revelation 12:17 how the evil one is out to get you and I, because we're trying to impale the flesh, even though we fail miserably, but we still try. We don't give up. We keep on going. Revelation 12:17 says, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold to the testimony of Yahshua." This is such a deep subject. I mean, we could go for days, but basically we're only proving that there's two resurrections, and those that are worthy will be raised up to reign with Messiah. You know, you can read in 1 Corinthians 15, you can read about that. You can read of the prophecy of Messiah being raised up, how he appeared to the people and apostles, and why the apostle has taught the doctrine of the resurrection to the people. You know, the apostles were teaching this. This is true doctrine here, you know. Let's read from the Messiah himself about the two resurrections. We'll go back again to John. Read it from his own mouth, Yahshua the Messiah. He said it, and we can believe it. John chapter 5, 25 through 30. He says there, "Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and those who hear shall live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man." So we see Yahweh is greater than Yahshua because he gave him authority. "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did the good deeds to the resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but but the will of him who sent me. So when we say that all we need is faith, right here it talks about those who do good deeds. They make it into the first resurrection, so those good deeds are important that we do them. When you love your neighbor, that's a good deed right there. And Yeshua said that completes the law right there. You know, when you love Yahweh and you love your neighbor, you know, that's the whole of the law. That's the goal. In Matthew 10:22, it says that we will be hated because of the name of Yeshua. But only the one who endures till the end will be saved. Some of us may not live to see Yeshua return, so we have to endure to the end of our days. As it said in Hebrews 11, our forefathers who were faithful, they died peacefully, knowing that they will receive a reward later on down the road. There are some who try to get all they can now, since they figure after our life on this earth, there's nothing else. You know, there's a certain so-called minister, supposedly preaches Messiah, not by his name Yeshua, but he says he wants his rewards now. So he's not feeding the flock, he's just living lavish off of them. You know, the scriptures warn us against these ministers. You can read in Jeremiah 23, in Micah chapter 3. But let's go just real quick to Ezekiel 34. I had the whole chapter listed, but we'll just read a couple of verses there. You know, that so-called minister says, you know, he likes to read about the streets of gold, but he says he wants everything now. So, well, yeah, he's going to get everything now. That's for sure. All right, I'll just go ahead. I'll read verses 1 through 3 right there in Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, then the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Master Yahweh, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep, without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. So they basically use the word of Yahweh, they use it for profit, and they don't even teach the correct doctrines. You know, they just go on telling us happy stories, you know, about what could be and how we should pay them to get into the kingdom. But anyway, the message in the past scriptures that we read is simple. Like in here in Ezekiel, the ministers are deceiving some sheep who are truly seeking truth. And when the sheep question these so-called shepherds, they don't give them an honest answer. Or after a while, they just kick them out of the congregation. So, you know, some of the sheep, they just give up. They lose hope and trust. You know, they don't trust nobody else when they're trying to help them, you know, on their walk. You know, they just say, no, forget it. That's okay. I was burned in the past. You know, what's new? You know, some false ministers, we've seen them on TV, we heard them on the radio. You know, some of them, they don't know certain truth. And when you show them certain truth, some of them, they will humble themselves. Others, for greed, though, or, you know, for lack of fear of Yahweh, they either hide the truth or they mix the truth with a little bit of error. You know, especially when it comes to important doctrines, you know, like the resurrection or Yeshua coming back. And then us meeting him, no, they say that you just go straight to heaven, you know. See, that's why we see a difference now in Christianity. It looks nothing like the Judaism it came out of. Some don't even know that Christianity came out of Judaism and was almost identical to it. And as I heard in a past message, we see that Christians, they used to keep, some of them kept the 14th Passover, some the 15th. So what about now? Now they just celebrate, you know, a festival to the Queen of Heaven called Easter. And so, you know, when we read of these things, that's why we have the confusion of the doctrines. That's why we see one group keeping one day, and then one group keeping another, and then one group thinking that they're better than Israel, that they replaced Israel, when that's not the case. And so when we see this separation, we see that the evil one took advantage, and in came the paganism and the heretics. And along with that, the persecution, you know, that came along with anything looking Jewish. Nobody wants to look Jewish nowadays. But they're quick to point out, you know, that they believe in a Messiah, and yet he was Jewish, wasn't he? Jewish is just a term that's being used in our day to describe a certain flavor, because Judah in Yahshua's time were the ones that were mostly keeping Torah, even though Yahshua was upset with the hypocrites that were teaching the law. Rather than asking Yahshua about the law, some teachers who love their position tried to trick him. And we saw that with the Sadducees, trying to trick him about the resurrection. But because he is the Messiah and he's a true servant and a true shepherd, he rebuked them. And also he rebukes us too for our lack of faith. When we have lack of faith, you know, he doesn't leave nobody out, nobody special. You know, you have to do Yahweh's will. The scriptures, though, they say that because we have tried to be obedient to Yahweh's laws, we have the spirit and the mind of Messiah, which will help us learn and teach others who desire to learn more truth and help them be obedient also. We can read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. We'll turn there real quick. And this is an awesome scripture here, you know. The Spirit of Yahweh came through Yahshua, and then it was given to us. It says in Galatians 4, verse 6, it says, because you are sons, Yahweh has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's why we call Yahweh our Father, because we're adopted sons. Also in 1 Corinthians 2, 16, 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says there, for who has known the mind of Yahweh that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Messiah. When we're under the influence of Yahweh's Spirit, we think like him, we walk like him, you know, we do what he said to do. You know, we love the brothers, and it doesn't matter if people persecute us, we hold firm in our stance. But we also try to answer people, you know, with fear. You know, we don't want to act like we're too much. In closing, I'd like to mention that we have bold confidence when we walk in the light, that the things promised to us because of our love to obey Yahweh and Yahshua will be just as the scripture says. And for an ending scripture, let's go to Romans 8:11. There was many, many other scriptures, you know, that talk about the resurrection. We just touch upon a few, you know, just to kind of whet our appetite. Hopefully this message, you know, blessed somebody out there, even if it's just one person that had a question, you know. Romans 8, verse 11, it says, but if the Spirit of Him, Yahweh, who raised Yahshua from the dead, dwells in you, He, Yahweh, who raised Messiah Yahshua from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Amen and hallelujah. May Yahweh's blessing and protection be upon you.